Just 3 hours to preach this message. You want to get out and play in the sun today, don't you? I can tell. Who has a cookout planned? Anybody? Okay. All right. Hey, before we get into the Word, just a little reminder to parents. If you have children, smaller ones in the sanctuary, if they become unsettled, we just ask you to take advantage of our nursery ministry or out in the lobby, there's a speaker. I don't want to offend or embarrass everyone, but we place a high premium on giving great reverence to the Word of the Lord here, and we want to make sure that everyone can receive without distraction. So just something we ask parents to do. I have three little ones, and we've had to walk out of a number of services and situations until they became a little more settled and not distracting. But we do want to give high honor and reverence to God's Word, because you never know that person that you're sitting next to, God might be speaking to, and we don't want them to miss anything. Amen? Amen. Well, we've taken a little bit of a break. Who remembers the Unlock series of messages we've done? Going back a few months, but we've had some guests and some special services, so took a little break from that, but the commercial break is over. I've got another Unlock message for us today, and over the next couple of Sundays, we might come back out of it, but then get back into it as we have a few more under this theme planned out for us. But you might remember in weeks gone by, we've looked at unlocking dreams. I believe that for everyone that knows the Lord, they come to understand God gives God-sized dreams to individuals. And He gives God-sized dreams to churches, for His church in this world, to do God-sized things. Amen? And I believe He wants us to unlock the dreams that He has entrusted to us. We talked about unlocking discovery. You need to continue on your faith journey with the Lord, because you never know what He has for you to discover next. I encourage my children every day before they go to school to focus, okay? I'll ask them questions. Who's going to focus today? Me. I'm just glad my kids respond to my questions now. I'll have a teenager here next month, so not sure how much longer that's going to last, right? You say things to them and not even, come on, who has teenagers? You know what I'm talking about. They don't even know you exist. Right? Am I right or am I right? Okay, I guess I got another friend now. Hey, by the end of the day, we're all going to be friends, right? Who's going to focus? Me. Who's going to listen and learn today? And they'll say me. And then I'll say, because you never know where the next boom-a-learn is. You ever just been going along in life, maybe on a Sunday morning or watching something educational on TV or a seminar or at work, or you're listening to someone, and it's like, boom, that you never knew that. And it's like, wow, that's amazing information. That's what I've nicknamed a boom-a-learn. So we want to unlock discovery and what God has for us in our lives. We talked about unlock change. You know what I've discovered about change? Everybody likes change until they have to change. Right? But if we're really going to receive God's best, we need to unlock change in our lives. I believe, especially coming out of our annual business meeting this past January, God's got some good change in store for us. But if we're going to receive that, we got to unlock change in us. Amen. Yeah, it's a good place to say amen. You missed it. We're going to keep moving. Maybe you'll get the next one. What do you think? Unlock expectation. You know, as a Christ follower, you can live your life just expecting something at any moment from the Lord. You never know what He has for you next. And we talked about unlock focus. Too many Christ followers today live distracted lives. Oh, look, there's a temptation. That looks fun. Oh, wow, look at this over here. Oh, wow. But people of God are laser focused on His truth and His goodness. So unlocking focus is important. And last week, of course, was Pentecost Sunday, and the message was be filled with the Spirit. I want to encourage you today, when you are filled with the Spirit, then you can unlock all that God has for you. And today, we want to talk about unlock potential. Unlock potential. Now, I brought a bag of sand with me today. Who likes sand? Who likes to play in the sand? Okay, some of you like to go to the beach, right? What? Help me out here. What's some different things you can do with sand? Help me. Go ahead. Okay, that was too many at once. I didn't catch all of those, right? Sand castles, okay. Play in the sand. I mean, when it comes to sand, I might not be that creative. I don't know if I can maximize the potential of sand. You know, I'd put it in a box and run a bulldozer through it or scoop some from a shovel into it. No, back up. I'm not ready yet for that. All right. Slide before, please. Man, you're giving away all my secrets back there, right? All right, anyone else? So, yeah, mix it into cement. All right, well, now that the secret's out, let's move on. Hey, here's an idea. Here's something you can do with sand. Where's that picture? All right. You ever do this in bottles? Now, I could try for like a week straight and never come up with anything like this. These are pretty creative and beautiful. You know, last July, we were in Massachusetts for Melissa's mother's funeral. And was it last? We went out to Revere Beach. We took the kids because we knew that this was going to be going on. Here, look at this, what people can do with sand. That's the next. There we go. I mean, isn't this amazing? I'm like, I think I've made big progress just getting it from a little shovel into a bucket. Look at this. This is phenomenal. And the whole beach was just lined with these phenomenal structures. Here, we got a video for you. Watch this. This is all done with sand. Who knew sand had so much potential? right? Sand. What you just witnessed on the screen is Psalm 139. Have you ever read Psalm 139? What's it talk about? Search me and know me, O God. And then at the end of that is, you search my heart and know me. In the middle of that psalm, it talks about how you created me, knit me together in my mother's womb. You saw that big eye. What's that represent? That part of Psalm 139, it says, Lord, no matter where I go, you see me, you're there. There's nothing I can do that you don't know about. There's nowhere that I can go that you're not there. Psalm 139, told with sand. You know, it's interesting. Some people think that only God creates. But I love a quote by Erwin McManus in his book, Wide Awake, where he says this, the Creator, as the ultimate act of creativity, has created you to be creative. To create is in your essence and is essential for living the life God created you to live. See, not only does He create, but He created us with the ability to be creative, didn't He? Here's an example. God created the egg. Right? Anybody like eggs? Yeah, white eggs or brown eggs? All eggs, somebody said. God has created the egg, but think of what mankind has created in using the egg. I mean, come on, there's hard-boiled and soft-boiled. There's hard-scrambled eggs, soft-scrambled eggs. There's sunny-side-up eggs. Over easy, over medium, over hard. There's poached eggs, baked eggs, basted eggs, and even Spanish fried eggs. Who knows what Spanish fried is? That's high heat and olive oil, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Now you're thinking of all the ways that you like eggs, and some of you will even put Tabasco sauce on them, right? Or ketchup if you're a kid, right? Anyone ever had Eggs Benedict? All right, what do you like with your eggs? See, God created the eggs, but mankind has created many, many different ways to use something as simple as an egg. Here's what I know. If you have a heart for God, and if you have a love for people, your gifts, your talents, and your creativity, they're going to serve you well. They're going to serve to bring glory to God. And they're going to serve to bring the potential that God created in you out of you for your good and for the good of others. And you know what happens when you do that? It puts you in concert with God. And being in concert with God is a great place to be. Have you ever noticed that everything God creates is good? Did you know that? Everything God creates is good, but then there's a bit of a breakdown if we're not careful. What we create either reflects the beauty or reflects the tragedy of the human soul. We see people using their creativity for a lot of good in the world. We see people using their creativity for a lot of bad in the world. Now, God is unlimited, but you and I have limited parameters, don't we? And what we're able to do. However, in those limited parameters, we have unlimited possibilities. If you're here today and you're a musician, you know there's only 12 notes. Which, by the way, commercial break. Who's up for a commercial break? If you are a musician, especially if you play the piano or the keyboard, we'd love to talk to you. If you love the Lord and you want to use that gift and that talent on our worship team here, to add that to our worship experience here, to have consistency on the piano, the keyboard. Wouldn't that be great? Any violinists? Any other musicians? You love the Lord and you realize God's given you those gifts, please come and talk to me. Or you can talk to Rachel, please. All right. Commercial break is over. Musician, there's only 12 notes. Just 12. But think of all of the music through the generations, all of the different sounds from different cultures, different genres, different styles, different types of music, all of this different music with just 12 notes. You see here on the front of you, or in front of you, just a small portion of the Handel's Messiah score. beautiful piece of music that God gave Mr. Handel, and it's become a famous Christmas song. Did you know there's only three primary colors? Yeah, just three primary colors. Yet just one paint company. Has anyone ever heard of the Benjamin Moore Paint Company? Did you realize you can go to a Benjamin Moore store and they will offer you over 3,500 different colors of paint? All those swatches that you see, are you kidding me? Out of the three primary colors, variations in mixing that, a paint company can offer you over 3,500 different colors of paint. Gets even better. Did you know that your eyes at any one time can take in 10 million different colors and can pick up on the variations of that, on how light and shade can affect colors to make more of those colors? Did you know that if you have a computer at home or on your desk at work or smartphone or whatever, that thing is capable of 16.8 million different colors? Isn't that incredible? And it's estimated that there are 64 million different colors in the world out of just three primary. See, you've got limited perimeters, but unlimited possibilities. Does anyone here like buildings? Well, it takes an architect to design these buildings. Did you know that architects work with three things? Lines, circles, and angles. That's what an architect works with. Three simple things: lines, circles, angles. Yet out of working with the perimeters of lines, circles, and angles, you can traverse the world and see amazing buildings. Some of them have become world famous, like the buildings in front of you. You can go home and Google today, world famous buildings, and see phenomenal structures that architects have designed and engineers have built with just lines, circles, and angles. If you're here today, you like math, you know there's only 9 digits, 0 if you count, or 10 if you count the 0, but with just 9 digits, there is infinite configurations, because numbers never end, do they? There's an infinite number of configurations with just these digits that you see on the screen before you. Now, you and I have to create out of what we have to reach our potential, don't we? You see, it's only God that can create what is known as ex nihilo. Ex nihilo simply means out of nothing. Now, only God can create ex nihilo. You and I cannot do that. It's frustration that arises when we try to create out of nothing. We cannot do that. Imagine a musician trying to compose without a B flat. All right, maybe that piece of music would fall flat, wouldn't it? Only God can create ex nihilo. We create out of what we have. Another way to put it is God creates with word. You and I create with work, don't we? Now, here's what we should have everyone do. You can take out your phone and turn the camera around so you can see yourself on your phone. All right? Who's going to join me here? Go to camera mode. Now, don't get shy here. Y'all about selfies every other day of the week, right? So you can turn that camera on. So just see, there I am. See me? Wave, all right? So look at yourself in your phone through your camera. You know, from billions and billions of people throughout the history of mankind, did you know that you... Okay, go ahead, take the selfie. But make sure, you know, everybody around you can be seen, and then paste that or post it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, something, and say, hey, I'm here at church today. You should be here with me. All right, just take a second to do that, okay? No, like, I'm serious. Go ahead. Take a selfie, post it, say, missing you today at Silver Spring Assembly. All right? We done? You didn't know you were going to be able to come to church and take a selfie, right, with all your friends around you. And that's free. That's not even my notes. We didn't do that in the first service, so aren't you glad you came to the second service today? from billions and billions of people, you are a unique individual. You know that? Nobody like you now, never has been, and never will be anyone totally like you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, calls you as a unique individual to do something. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, calls each one of us to conform to the character of Christ and not the patterns of this world. So God is speaking to you as a unique individual to conform to the character of Christ, not to the patterns of this world. You know why he's telling us to do that? Because he knows, as our Creator, you're going to conform to something. Everybody conforms to something, to some philosophy, to some religion, to some ideology, even if it's just their own, right? So you will conform to something. And God says in his word, and he calls us, listen, since you're going to conform to the character of Christ, not to the patterns of this world. You see, because God knows this as well, both of them change you. And both of them will shape you. Conforming to the character of Christ will change and shape you. And conforming to the patterns of this world will shape you. So you're going to conform, you're going to be changed, you're going to be shaped to something. Both of these change and shape us, but both the intent and the outcome are totally different. You see, in the shaping and conforming to the patterns of this world, you know what happens? You'll be robbed of your uniqueness. And in the process of being formed and shaped by the patterns of this world, not only will you be robbed of your uniqueness while here on this earth, you lose your soul in the process. And at the end of the day, that's not where you want to be. But when you conform to Christ, who's the Creator? He's the Creator. When you conform to your Creator, when you conform to your Savior, when you conform to your Lord, when you conform to Christ, you know what you're doing? You're letting the one who created you shape your character. Here's another quote I love by Erwin McManus. He says, it's here at this point that God begins to reclaim and redirect and unleash your creative potential. To conform to Christ is not to surrender your creative potential, but to fully actualize it. End quote. I think that's a powerful quote. There's a Brazilian author by the name of Paulo Coelho, and he wrote a book entitled Warrior of the Light. And he writes in his book, Warrior of the Light, this quote, God never abandons his children, but his purposes are unfathomable, and he builds the road with our steps, end quote. Can I tell you today, whether you believe it or not, I believe God believes it, and I believe it. I believe that God has designed a role for you. I believe he's created you and he's designed a role for you that has great potential to create a better life for yourself and for everyone else that's in your life. Now, there are some great examples of this through history, whether it's Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr., people that have been used to create a better way for many others in life. Did you know that every day, you affect the future of your life? What you did yesterday, today, what you do today is affecting the future of your life, because every day you affect the future of your life and those in your life. And furthermore, every choice you make, some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Every choice you make has force and consequences past the actions of that choice. You know what I'm talking about. At some point in your life, you made a good choice. Maybe it was the person you would marry. Maybe it was the job or where you relocated to. And that was a good choice. And you made that choice, and then your children grow up and become wonderful or this. See, you made a choice back here, but now it's had a force and consequences that's carried through life way past the choice. It works the same way with bad choices. Right? Anyone here, you made a bad choice 20, 30 years ago, and there are still at least some consequences of that choice. Because there's a force and consequences that last longer than the choice itself. Good choices create a better future, don't they? But bad choices create pain and tragedy. Good choices enhance the potential of your life. Bad choices damage the potential of your life. Did you know that you can figure out someone's future destiny by observing their daily choices? You can figure out someone's future destiny by observing their daily decisions. Watch them. What they're doing today, because each day keeps compiling up, doesn't it? And you get the compound effect that leads you to your destiny. Now today, and maybe starting again in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to give you some keys to unlocking the potential that God empowers us to fulfill. Key number one is be prepared. Be prepared. If you want to unlock the potential that God knit into you when He knit you together in your mother's womb, and by nature and nurture, you are going to be a person that needs to be prepared in your life. Now, after talking about His second coming to this earth, Jesus drives home God's expectation of us. How many knows, you think you have all these expectations on God, how many knows He has one or two for you as well? And after talking about His second coming to earth, Jesus drives home God's expectation of us and the reward of optimizing your God-given potential. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 47 say this, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." What Jesus is talking about here and what we're about to go into, really what He's talking about is what I just mentioned a few moments ago, His second coming. How many know, yes, Jesus came the first time just like God told us He would, and Jesus will come back to earth a second time like He Himself said He would. You see, what Jesus Christ is doing here in Matthew 24, and we'll see again in a few moments in Matthew chapter 25, He's giving us insight to the kingdom of God. Jesus is giving us insight into the kingdom of God, and He focuses not so much on what God would do for us, but what He expects from us. We see that God expects us to be fully engaged in this life. That's what He said. These servants need to be engaged with the responsibilities that was left to them, right? And it's going to work out in their benefit when their owner, whoever hired them, when he or she comes back and finds them doing what they were left to do. So Jesus is giving us this insight. All right? And we see that God expects us to be fully engaged in this life, reaching our potential, and creating a better future. How? Through faithfulness and taking initiative. Okay? If you are going to create the life of your dreams, if you're going to reach the potential of your dreams, you know you eventually have to stop thinking about it. There comes a time you got to stop hoping for your dreams. There even comes a time that you got to stop planning. And I would add to that, there even comes a time you need to stop praying about it. Now, I understand. Don't say the pastor's gone off the deep end doctrinally. I know that we're to pray without ceasing, right? Pray continually. But what I'm talking about, come out of the prayer closet. There comes a time you got to stop thinking, stop hoping, stop planning, stop praying, and you actually have to do something. Okay? You might have big dreams and big aspirations that's going to require a lot of money, but guess what? You actually need to get a job, get up every morning, go to work, earn a paycheck to get the money. All right? If you think just winning the lottery is going to... Don't even get me started, right? I know the Powerball's big again, and some of you have even prayed, Lord, let me win it. Right? Who wants to confess that one today? Confession's good for the soul, right? What are you doing gambling anyhow is what I want to know. See, the way I pray is, Lord, let someone drop that ticket. No, I'm just here. All right. That gets us a side door entrance to that, right? No, you actually have to do something at some point. Okay, if you're going to make a sandcastle, you got to gather it up. Right? Or if you're going to do sand art, you got to get some sand. You can pray about sand art all day. But until you get some sand and start spreading it around and drawing, right? You're not going to be able to do it. You can pray all day and just look at that sack. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray over this sand that it would just become a castle. All right? That's not going to happen, is it? I got to get busy with the sand, right? All right. I think we know what we're talking about here. Listen, your potential is not simply a source of inspiration, but it's the stewardship of your life. You can be inspired all you want and not reach your potential. But if you become a steward of what God's created in you to be, your gifts and talents, then you can reach your potential. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. Oh my. In the interest of time, I'm not going to read these 13 verses, but I'm going to encapsulate it for you, okay? Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. I bet most, if not all of you, know the story. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Now remember, Jesus is teaching us here about His return, His second coming to earth. All right, there were 10 virgins, and they, you know, the bridegroom is going to be coming, and so they set off on this journey, and they all have lamps. You know, today we have flashlights or smartphones, right? So what you want to do, right? There you go. Everybody say cheese. So 10 of these virgins are wise, aren't they? What did they do? Well, they took extra oil for their lamps. The equivalent of this is... take your charger with you. All right? Or if you have a flashlight, pack some extra batteries in your backpack or your pocket. Same thing. Back then they had oil lamps. So 10 virgins set out, but 5 of them were wise. They took extra oil. They took their charger to plug in. Someone came in after the first service. I said, what are you looking for? Your charger? Because we found it in the pew back there, right? I said, I've already put it in lost and found for you. All right, we could, and you know, big thing today is charging stations, right? You ever go to an airport and there's no charging station? What kind of second-rate airport is this without a charging? All right, don't get me distracted here, okay? We got a few minutes left. But 5 of the virgins were unwise. They didn't take extra oil, did they? Only what was in the lamps. And now it's night, they've been burning the lamps, and the oil burns out. The wick burns out because the oil's burned up. And the next thing you know, get up, get up, get up. It's midnight. It's the middle of the night. Don't you love those phone calls and someone knocking on your door, right? It's midnight. Hey, the bridegroom's coming. Woohoo! And the 5 unwise virgins say to the 5 virgins, hey, can I borrow your charger? Isn't that what it? No, it says, give us some oil. What do the 5 wise virgins say to them? No. Go get your own oil. It's midnight. I mean, I don't know if Walmart was open 24 hours a day 2,000 years ago, like some of them are today, right? No, go get your own oil. I don't know where you're going to find oil in the middle of the night. And sure enough, while the 5 foolish ones were off to get some extra oil, or a charger cable and plug for their iPhones. No, no, they were unwise. They would have had Samsung or Android, right? All right. It was the wise virgins that had iPhones. All right. So they're off to look for charger cables for their Android-based phones or to buy oil. And guess what happens? The bridegroom comes. And when the bridegroom comes, the five wise virgins, they're invited to the banquet. They were prepared for his coming. And Jesus is talking about you need to be prepared for the second return of Christ. Because you never know when it's going to happen. We used to sing, could be morning, night, or noon, but we know he's coming soon, but it's going to be unannounced, and it's going to be fast, and you're not going to have time in the twinkling of an eye to charge your phones. You're not going to have time to go out and buy oil. Now it's too late to prepare your heart and your life, isn't it? Can we have some of your oil, five asked. Father five, no, you cannot. We have prepared, you haven't. Suffer the consequences, basically. Seems harsh, doesn't it? But oh, beloved, if Jesus plans a visit, or if God plans something for your life, you better have what you need to be prepared to reach what is possible. The five wise virgins had what they needed. Now they could reach the potential of being invited into the banquet in a wonderful celebration and feast. And now that set them on a trajectory to be prepared, their souls all for eternity. What is Jesus doing here? He's driving home the point. There are things that you and I have to get done before He comes, and we are accountable for them. Do you want to go to heaven? There are some things you must do, you're accountable for. What's He teaching us here? He's giving us every opportunity to take advantage of salvation. He's coming back. He's told us He's coming, right? And I know there's a lot of different philosophies and different things going on in the world today, but all of my eggs are in this basket, and I believe, as it says in the Word, Jesus is the only way. The Word talks a lot about heaven. The Word of God talks a lot about hell. And the Word of God talks a lot about if you want to go to heaven, it has to be through Jesus Christ. Prepare your heart. Prepare your life. I know there's all this mumbo jumbo in the world, but my money's on the one that laid his life down for me, not somebody that's never done a thing for me or for you in my life, but the Son of God who was given and laid down his life and took it up again. That's who I'm going with. You can make your choices. I'm making mine. And the one I'm going with says you need to be prepared because he's coming back soon. It could be tonight. It could be before the end of this service. It could be before you get home. It could be before you wake up to go to work tomorrow morning. And Jesus ultimately, in these stories out of Matthew 24 and 25, we just read, he's talking about his second coming. But church, even visits through the Holy Spirit while we are still on earth. You got people that come in and out of church Sunday after Sunday, and they don't come prepared to hear a word from God. They don't come prepared to receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit if something's not right in their lives. They don't come prepared to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit if something's not right in their lives. People just come, they clock in and clock out, they've done their religious duty for the week, but maybe the Spirit of God has a message for you to change the direction of your life. You can't afford to miss visits of the Lord or from the Lord, whether through His Holy Spirit, while we're here on this life, in a setting like this, a church service, a Wednesday night Bible study, your personal devotions. God might have something for you, but are you preparing? Why do you hear me over and over? Get into God's Word. Get God's Word into you. It's to prepare you for visits from God in your life. Are you prepared? You see, the five wise virgins tapped their potential by just being prepared. And they created possibilities and opportunities for themselves that others missed out on. What's the lesson? Don't just sit around and wait when you should be getting something done. All right, you ever invited a guest into your home for dinner? What do? You clean. Or at least throw things in the closet where they can't see it. Right? or under your bed. And you vacuum spots that your vacuum cleaner didn't even know existed in your house. Right? You have special guests coming. What are you doing? You're preparing for their visit. If they're coming for a meal, man, you're working hard in the kitchen. You're putting a little extra love, the special ingredients. You're preparing for your guests. Come on, do you invite people over and order McDonald's? No, you prepare. You put effort into that. You put care into it. You put love into it. You're doing something before they come. You're preparing. So why do so many wait on God while they just sit around and do nothing? They don't get involved in the church. They don't really prepare their hearts. I'm waiting. What are you waiting on? Waiting on God. When do you think He's going to show up? Don't know, just waiting. When do you hope He shows up? Don't care, just waiting. Right? No, get busy for Jesus, right? Simply put, before you step out of this life into eternity, there's things you need to get done here and now. And Jesus is pressing us to realize that some things are in our control. And you and I are responsible to be prepared. I love the motto of the Caribou Coffee Company out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Life is short, stay awake for it. Yeah. Who wants to go out and get a... That's too hot. Iced coffee, right? Life is short, stay awake for it. Listen, as Christ followers, we need to be awake. And we need to be diligent in order to create our greatest potential that God has entrusted to us. And hear me today. If this were easy, everyone would be living to his or her highest potential. But we're not. Many aren't because it's not easy. That's why we need messages like this today. Do you know anyone in your life they are reaching their fullest potential in life? Or do you know people that you see, they're loaded with potential, but that potential energy never becomes kinetic energy. It's always just potential that's locked up because they won't take the necessary disciplines and day-to-day decisions to reach the destiny of their potential. I wonder how many here today, you could raise your hand and say, I am absolutely, unequivocally, without question, reaching the fullest God created in me potential in my life. If you are, God bless you, but I don't know that we could all raise our hands. Are you preparing all that you can in your life to reach your highest potential? Here's what I know. The best way to unlock potential is to lock into the Creator. And the best way to lock into the Creator is to go to where He reveals Himself. Why do I give this continual challenge to get into God's Word and get God's Word into you? Because God's Word, it's the 12 notes. You get into God's Word. You get God's Word into you. It puts you in concert for a beautiful symphony with your Creator. Creator and created in unity with one another. And then your life becomes a beautiful song that you can enjoy, that others can observe, listen to, watch, and enjoy. Why? Get into God's Word. Get God's Word into you because it's the primary colors. And now your life becomes a canvas where the artistry of God, He can take the brush of His truth, of His goodness, of who He knit you in your mother's womb to be, and become a beautiful life for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, for the good of mankind, with the gifts and the talents that He has entrusted to you. Why do I always encourage you, get into God's Word and get God's Word into you? Because it's the lines. It's the circles. It's the angles, and God will reveal Himself, and He can build something great in you and build something great through you, and you can become either a world famous or a family famous or a church famous structure for the cause of God. the high purposes of your highest potential? Why are you encouraged to repeatedly by me to get into God's Word, get God's Word into you? Because here are infinite possibilities. It's the digits of the potential of your life where the configurations are without limit. Absolutely without limit. Ultimately, I would ask you today, are you prepared for a visit from Jesus today in two ways? And I grew up with this when our family first got into the church. I mean, we heard constantly, Jesus is coming back. We need to hear it more, and that's why you're hearing it more from me. Hear me today, beloved. Jesus Christ is returning soon. Maybe not when you and I determine soon. We think soon in like 3.5 seconds from now, all right, in the day that we live in. But I'm talking about the way God determines history. And you and I are in the church age. We celebrated its birth earlier. Last week with the day of Pentecost. But the church age, which is the age we're in, ends when Jesus returns. And if you look at prophecy, I'm not so sure there's anything else needed that's required from God's perspective and understanding before He sends His Son back for His people. And for a church that it's without spot or wrinkle. So ultimately, if Jesus Christ were to return today, are you prepared to meet Him in the air and spend eternity with Him? Or is there unconfessed sin in your life or sin that you've not been willing to deal with? You know it's not good. You know it's damaging you, destroying your life, hurting others, but you haven't fixed it yet. Why not today? Are you prepared? And none of us in this room are promised tomorrow. You cannot say, I know for a fact that I'm going to still be alive this time tomorrow. This coming September will be 2 years where my cousin instantly and tragically lost her 17-year-old daughter after a family reunion. Family reunions, my family going back, always on Sundays. I always miss them because I'm kind of tied up here on Sundays. But the family reunion was ending that Sunday. And Jonathan and Kayla were leaving, just like everyone else in the family. And they were on Jonathan's motorcycle, and he pulls out. He didn't see the SUV coming so fast. And it hit him and killed Kayla instantly, 17 years old. But the good news is Kayla was prepared. She loved Jesus. She had accepted Him in her heart as her Savior, with a dedication to follow Him as her Lord. Have you done that today? Are you prepared to spend eternity with Him? Not only that, are you prepared for visits of the Holy Spirit? You might come in here and the Lord wants to challenge you about where you're at as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, an employee, a student, a neighbor, a citizen of this planet. And He wants to visit you and make some necessary change in your life to make your life better and the lives of those around you. Do you come into this place prepared to receive from the Lord when you come? Are you creating opportunities? Are you prepared to spend eternity with Him? Are you unlocking the potential in your life? Are you unlocking the potential of your faith in Jesus? Are you unlocking the potential of the gifts and the talents that He's created in you? In other words, as we ended last Sunday with, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? I'm going to ask you to stand with me today, please. Would you say